to call your attention to some scripture found in the 39th Psalm, and I certainly ask for your prayers. I have no desire today for anything other than to just share with you what the Lord put upon my heart. 39th Psalm, and I want to read just a few verses, beginning with the fourth verse. Psalm 39, beginning with verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now this word at the end of that verse, of the fifth verse, this word Selah, that's a musical notation, and it's my understanding that it means to pause. And so as we take thought for just a moment about that verse, David said, every man, not in his worst condition, but every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And he goes on and he says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And I want to speak today about the frailty of human life. If you read this 39th Psalm and the things David said, and you read the things that Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, you'll see that many of the thoughts that Solomon penned down in the book of Ecclesiastes were obviously in the mind of David, his father, before him as well, concerning the vanity of life. And, you know, the problem with the human race oftentimes is that people would rather live in some type of fantasy world or fantasy mindset rather than to face the reality of things. But you know, not thinking about something or pretending that something won't happen won't make it go away. And oftentimes when we mention things such as the frailty of life or the certainty of death, a lot of times, you know, the people of this world, their escape is to just say, well, just don't think about it. But listen, trying to avoid reality won't change anything. And trying to, and I'll say this, if you're here today and you're lost and without God, not thinking about death will never change the fact that it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this comes the judgment. Now, you know, many people would think that the things that we read about in the 39th Psalm, I believe there are many people that would think that what David did here was even somewhat morbid. But he asked God this, and you can read in the Psalms of times when David would do this. David would go to God and he would ask God to show him reality. Show him what's real. If you read the 139th Psalm, David did that. He asked the Lord to search him and to see if there was any wicked way in him. And you know, when we ask things of God, if we really want to see it, listen, if you really want to see yourself for what you really are, if you really want to see reality and you ask God, he'll show it to you. And so David made this request of the Lord. He asked God to show him his end, to show him the brevity of his life and to show him how frail that he is. And listen, you know, we sometimes, the human family has this idea that that we are strong and that we are a tough race, but really we're not. We're actually very feeble and very frail. And I want you to think about what that word means when David asked that of the Lord to show him how frail that he was. Something that's frail is something that's liable to fail and to decay. It's indicative of something that's subject to casualties, something that's easily destroyed. Frailty is something that's not very firm or durable. And as it's already been said this morning, I believe it was Brother Ken that made the statement that really we as human beings, we are so frail that we are only one breath away from eternity. That's how frail that we are. David here in this psalm, when he said concerning the brevity of life, he said, "Thou hast made my days as an handbreadth." You know, if you want to see the reality of your days on the earth, you don't have to have some great measuring device. You don't have to have some great thing that will measure the years. You just have to look at your hand. He said David compared the days of his life to a handbreadth. You know what a handbreadth is? It's the distance between your four fingers. If you look at your hand, that is an indication to you how short that your life is. The Bible gives us another gauge whereby we can measure how short our days are. If you've ever turned your tea kettle on and seen a mist, if you've ever seen a vapor that rises up from your tea kettle and see how quickly that it dissipates, that's what the Bible says our life is. James said it's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so if we want to look at things realistically, you know, oftentimes when people consider death, and, you know, I believe that as the 39th Psalm teaches us here, I believe that that's something that we should think about. That's something that we should consider because it's a fact that it's coming to every one of us. And so David, now he didn't really ask God, and this is my interpretation of what he said here. I don't think David was really asking God to show him exactly the moment or exactly the day that he was going to die, or he wasn't asking God to show him exactly how that was going to happen. We're not going to know that, and God's not going to reveal that to us. But David was asking God to keep it ever before him that his life here would be something that would just be fleeting, that it wouldn't last very long. And, you know, if we consider death to be something that is way out there in the future, which really that's not a very realistic way to look at it, but if we look at death in that way, and I believe that this is true for those who are saved and for those who are lost as well, if we look at death as something that is far distance, a long ways away from us, then it will cause us to be lethargic. It'll cause us to procrastinate. You know, if you view death as something close, which really what it is what it is, honestly, if we want to have a true sense of thought, if we want to look at this in a manner that's right, then we will look at death as something that's very close for every one of us. because it can happen to us at any moment. And, you know, I think that perhaps many people start their day, and if they were to think about this at all, they would think, well, I understand that this that there is the possibility that perhaps this will be my last day on earth. But honestly, I think if we look at it realistically, we would probably upgrade, and we would probably say that it's a great probability or even a great likelihood that this will be my last day on the earth. And for many people, that comes true, doesn't it? Every day. Every day. Death never takes a holiday. People die every day. And God is no respecter of persons. And so this can be your day, just the same as it can be someone else's day. And it's certain that it's going to take place. And you know, there are many things when we think about the frailty of a human life. There are many things that we read about in the Word of God, and there are many things that we see in nature every day that are strong and that are durable. We see perhaps a giant oak tree, and we think about that as being something that's very strong. We think about that wood, that type of wood, as something that's being very hard, and we think about a tree, a tree that's really big and that's really rooted, and we think about how that it's able to withstand strong winds and survive those things. But and we see mountains and we see big rocks and we see things in nature that are very strong. But you know, when God in His Word inspired His men to write about human life, He didn't compare us to those things, did He? He didn't compare us to the big, strong oak trees or to the mountains. He compared us to something that's very fragile and very frail. Job said in the 14th chapter of Job, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down." Now, I think we all understand that. We understand how frail and how delicate a flower is compared to a rock or compared to something that's much harder and much tougher. And so when the Bible speaks about our lives, it compares us to things that are very fragile and very easily to be taken down and very easily to be destroyed. Isaiah, in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, he compared us to the grass. All flesh is grass. And we understand how easy that it is to cut grass compared to cutting something else, something that's much harder. And so throughout all the Bible, we have this teaching that our life here is very subject to end at any moment, and that we are weak, we're not strong. I remember when I was a young man, I had it in my mind for a while how strong that I was. I felt like for a while there that I was invincible, but when I found myself under conviction of sin before God, He made me to realize how small that I really was, and how dependent upon Him that I was, and how much that I needed Him. And I want you to know something today. Listen, if you're here and you're lost, I want you to get this today, that you're not tough, that you're not indestructible, but that you are very frail and you are subject to death at any time. And the worst thing that can happen to anybody is to die without the Lord. Let's consider this verse in these verses in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Pay close attention to what he said here. Verse 6, he said, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it." Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. If you look further into this chapter, you will find that Isaiah spoke about God and how that he sits upon the circle of the earth, and how that God looks down upon the inhabitants of the earth. And when he does, he doesn't see us as these big, strong, massive creatures. He does not see us as something that's indestructible. The Bible says that God sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers before him. If you want a good idea of how frail that you are, just compare yourself to a grasshopper. That's what the Word of God does. Friends, listen, if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord, you are in need of a Savior. You're in need of salvation. You are in need today of seeking the Lord, that He might save your soul, that you might have eternal life, that you might be secure forever, because we are going to all die. We're going to die. I know that's hard. I know it's difficult for young people, it seems, to embrace that, but you need to. You know, if you wanted to take a stroll with me today, we could walk over here through the Fairview Cemetery, and I could show you plenty of gravestones where people left the world in their youth. You'll find them in every cemetery. You'll find every place where you go where they have buried any amount of people, that death comes to people in their youth. It comes to people middle-aged. It comes to people in old age. And the truth is, we don't know when it's going to come to us. And so, friend, you need to make preparation for that, because you are so fragile and you are so frail. And it's only a breath, one single breath, one heartbeat, one time for your lungs to fill with air. That's all that we are apart from leaving this world. Your heart, your human heart, will one day stop. One of these days you'll stop breathing. One of these days your spirit will be called from your body and you'll be dead. Maybe today. Maybe today. Maybe not. That's contained only in the knowledge of God. But I want you to know that it's going to happen. I'm glad I don't have to worry about that. I'm glad I don't have to have any fear of that. I'm glad that I can lay down on my bed at night. I'm being honest with you, folks. I'm thankful that I can lay down on my bed at night and close my eyes and go to sleep and not even have to worry about whether I wake up here or not. If I don't, I'll wake up someplace better. I'll wake up in my true home. I'll wake up in that place that God has prepared for His people. And so, let me tell you something. It is peaceful in the arms of the Lord. It's peaceful and it's consoling and it's wonderful to be able to go through life knowing with an assurance that whatever happens to you in the course of that day, that it's well with your soul, that you don't have to have, you don't have anything that you have to worry about concerning eternity. Amen. Let me tell you something. When death comes, it will yield much different results for those who are lost than it will those who are saved. It's sad to think that for those who leave the world without God, It's sad to think that the only joy or pleasure that they'll ever know is what they've known on earth. The death of the wicked will be the end of all joy. The death of the saints will be the end of all their troubles. We won't worry about anything anymore. Man that's born a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and those of us who are saved, we lay those down in death, and we never deal with those again. But let me tell you something. If you die lost and without God, your troubles have just started. Your misery has just started, and it will last through all eternity. Folks, listen. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him convince you that you've got plenty of time. Don't let him sit there and whisper in your ear that there'll be a better day for you to seek the Lord and be saved, because he can't promise you that, and God has not promised you that. Listen to what the Word of God says, that we are frail, that our life is just a vapor, that it's just like a blade of grass or a flower that can be cut down at any moment, and you need to seek the Lord and take advantage of the time that God is giving you. I'm going to tell you this. If anybody told you that tomorrow is promised to you, they lied to you. They lied to you. If you have promised yourself that tomorrow here is promised to you, then you've deceived yourself, because it's not. You have what you have now. You have this opportunity before you to seek the Lord. And I pray, and I strongly urge you to take advantage of what the Lord is giving you. I pray today that God will show you, that he'll make it clear to you how frail that you truly are. I pray that God will make it clear to his people how frail. You know, I'm afraid we do the same thing. We get it in our mind that we've got all this time left. We get it in our mind that we'll just procrastinate, that we'll just put it off. Listen, whatever we need to do for the Lord, we better be about it, hadn't we? Whatever we need to do for the Lord, we better be doing it, because God hasn't promised us another day any more than he has anybody else. And so if there's things that we need to do in service to the Lord, we need to do them. I remember one time, well, actually I remember several times hearing it said concerning preachers. They said, you know, when the preacher gets up to preach, he needs to preach like a dying man preaching to dying people. That's what we are. We are a dying breed, because we're frail. We're fragile. And it's appointed unto men once to die. Are you ready for that? What if God calls you today? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Let's stand and sing.
Number 299. Can you say it is well with my soul? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea
billows
roll,
if it's not, it can't be. The Lord made a way for you to be saved.
Thou hast taught.
need to come to the Lord, repent of your sins, and trust in Jesus.
It is well. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well.
Amen.
With my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall beside the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Number 185, Jesus is still calling, isn't he? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come. moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.